This is The State of Things. I'm Frank Stachow. The struggle for women's rights has gone through many phases. In the 70s, in what is known as the second wave, the fight was often seen as an upper-middle-class white struggle. Black feminists like Beverly Guy Sheftall have made it their mission to broaden the scope of the movement. Beverly saw a need for a feminist education during her time as a student and professor at Spelman College. She helped spearhead the first women's studies department at a historically black college. She is currently the founder and director of the Women's Research and Resource Center at Spelman College, also the Anna Julia Cooper Professor of Women's Studies, and she joins us right now. Beverly, Guy Sheftall, it's so good to have you on the program. How are you doing?
I'm just fine. I'm very happy to be on the program.
Tell us a little bit about, I mean, take us back and tell us about this, how the civil rights movement and the women's liberation movement, how you saw black women in that struggle with, of the civil rights movement early on.
Well, early on, of course, both black and white women were involved in the civil rights movement. And if we go back even further and think about the 19th century women's rights movement, we know that those suffragists were abolitionists. So there's always been a connection between struggle for racial equity and struggle for gender equity on the part of women. But if we come up to the 1960s and we look at black women who were involved in the civil rights movement and white women who were involved in the civil rights movement, they began to realize that a lot of what they were advocating for with respect to race was not happening with respect to gender. So you had black and white women in SNCC, for example, realizing that while they were struggling for racial equality, they also needed to struggle for gender equality. So many of the early black feminist organizations actually came out of civil rights struggle.
When you talk about a black feminist organization, how does that connect with what we understand to be the early, and by that I mean second wave, so the 70s, feminist movement, which is often perceived as a white middle class movement? Was black feminism alive and moving at the same time, or was there, are there a sequence, do you think?
They were alive and moving at the same time. In other words, you've always had black women involved in struggle for gender and racial equality, though frequently that work got seen as primarily racial equality. And I'm going to give you just a really good example. Rosa Parks, we associate Rosa Parks, of course, with the Montgomery bus boycott, but we now know that as a civil rights activist in the 40s, she was an anti-rape activist. So that clearly was, work that had to do with both women's equality and racial equality. When the National Black Feminist Organization was founded in 1972, that's early on, and those black women believed that their particular needs were not getting met by the sort of male-dominated civil rights movement and the sort of white-dominated women's movement. And so black feminist organizations have emerged in response to what black women perceived to be there's sort of marginalization in both of those movements.
And what were those particular needs, and how are they different?
Well, one of the issues that that black women have always argued is that there's no such thing as just a gender issue. Black women always have known that oppressions are intersecting and simultaneous. So that black women always knew that you had to be dealing with race and gender, and class, and sexuality, for example, not just with gender equality within the context of the U.S., for example. So the main difference then was always this idea that women have multiple identities, they're simultaneously always, a variety of identities, and they have to struggle around those identities at the same time. So black women never saw themselves as only women. They knew that they were also black or also poor.
How did that change the shape of them? In other words, how is the black feminist movement different in terms of strategy and tactics, given that sort of that intellectual foundation that and social foundation?
Well, I think black women were the ones that convinced sort of mainstream feminism that you couldn't just define a women's issue in terms of gender issues. So that, for example, the struggles that women in public housing were having around housing issues was a woman's issue. Or the struggles that poor women were having trying to get health coverage was also a women's issue. In other words, black women, I think, forced second wave women's movement to think about the women's movement in broader terms than just gender equality.
It would have been interesting if this had caught on more broadly right at the time, if you think about the way social welfare programs became racialized and associated with gender throughout the 70s and Ronald Reagan obviously capitalized that by 1980, capitalized on that.
Absolutely. And one example of that, and people don't know this, is those early sexual harassment suits were brought by black women in work environments. And people didn't initially think of that as women's movement work. They saw that as, again, racial work. So, yeah, I think things would have been very different if from the very beginning the women's movement had been broader based and not just focused on gender equality.
How did feminist consciousness raising happen when you were in school, and how has it changed, do you think?
Well, I went to college in the 60s, so there was not much explicit gender consciousness when I was a college student. I definitely was shaped by the civil rights movement, and there was a sort of, I would say, particular focus on race in the 60s. Though I had been sort of introduced to gender issues actually by my mother, not by a so-called women's movement. So by the time I came back to teach at Spelman in the 70s, the sort of academic feminism or the women's movement was in full swing. So my introduction to feminism formally didn't come when I was an undergraduate student in the 60s. It came later.
And then tell us about your mother's influence and whether or not that was a kind of an academic intellectual approach or a different way of seeing feminism for you before you even got to the academy.
Well, my mother became a single mom raising three daughters. And her message to us was that we should be independent. We should become economically autonomous, and that we should not see ourselves as people for whom marriage would be a panacea. And then, even before then, when I was in the eighth grade, this probably was the most prominent example of my mother's, now I realize, feminist activism. She petitioned the Memphis Public Schools when I was in the eighth grade, and that would have been in the 50s. To not have me take the obligatory home economics class.
Mm. Wow, what did she say about that to you?
She said that I was college bound and that I did not need to learn how to make pot holders and learn how to cook. that if and when I needed to know how to cook, I could get myself a cookbook.
Wow.
But that since I was college bound, I should be taking typing, and she wasn't thinking about typing as being something that people do when they get to be secretaries.
Right. This is how you're going to get your term papers written, right?
That's exactly.
Yeah, exactly. So,
exactly.
So that's something that the school board had to be talked into, and I'm guessing perhaps black men. Let's talk about how
it wasn't a black men. It was the public schools in Memphis, Tennessee in the 50s were controlled by white men.
Well, what I mean is, what would it have been a hard sell, or put the question another way, have black men been influenced by black feminism, and, you know, sort of how would they have taken it at the time? It seems to me there has to have been a bit of a journey there as well for black men not to think that you were there to cook their meals and darn their socks.
Yeah, but, you know, I think in terms of the petition, this was what I think made it even more extraordinary, because she was resisting both racial dominance and also patriarchal authority, because she had to petition a primarily white male power structure in the Memphis Public Schools.
How did it turn out? Did she win?
They agreed. Now, they didn't change the generic policy,
right?
But they did allow me, one little girl in the eighth grade in Memphis,
wow,
to not take home ec and to take typing instead.
Do you cook?
No.
Okay, I'm just wondering if you picked it up since then. But now my question.
No. And, you know, it had a tremendous. No, I never learned how to cook.
Well, that's fine. That's that we deeply appreciate your writing and your activism. So it's all good. Black men, have they been, and of course we're focused on black feminism. So I'm wondering what influence you think it has had over these past decades on black
men. It's
been
a struggle. I mean, but black feminism was a struggle within the civil rights movement. Mm. That is gender politics, and I think that because traditional and even sometimes patriarchal gender attitudes, black feminists struggle not just with white women in the women's movement, but also struggle with black men in churches where they're dominant, struggle with black men in civil rights movements where they were dominant, struggled in black colleges where they were dominant. So black women found themselves struggling on both fronts within the,
right.
the black community and without and outside of the black community.
And in communities where a lot of power is concentrated in the churches, not the academies, do you think things are changing now? Is there any more influence these days?
I think the movement in the church has been slower than, for example, the movement in the university, black colleges. But I still think, and I still think that black feminism struggles within African American communities, though I think the situation is not as dire as it was in the '60s when black women within civil rights organizations demanded gender equality. I think over time, over the last 20 years, you've had, for example, African American men exposed to women's studies courses. You've had African American men exposed to feminist mothers. And you have had even some progressive spaces within the black community, including some churches. So I think that the struggle with African American men around feminist issues over these 30 years has gotten better.
And you have said that you consider Barack Obama a feminist.
I consider Barack Obama to be gender progressive, seemingly both in his personal life and also in his political stances, yes.
How so?
Well, he clearly advocates for women's rights. When he was a senator when he was in Congress in Chicago, even before he got to be president, he fought for legislation that addressed violence against women. He clearly, before he was in the White House, I would say that he and Michelle had a what appeared to be an egalitarian marriage, both of them working outside of the home. And I think that he's been extremely progressive since he's been in the White House around women's issues and LGBT issues as well.
These days, when women seem to be under assault and women's rights are under attack in ways that we haven't seen since the second wave began, mm-hmm. is there now broader agreement among white women and black women? Have those feminist movements come together and coalesced a little better than they were in the 70s?
I do think that race and class are more visible within the mainstream women's movement? Absolutely.
I mean, it seems to me one of the ways that the conservative agenda is moved forward is by mm-hmm. is by hammering on the distinction, on racial distinction, in a mm-hmm. way that sort of works against, I think, working class whites in a lot of ways. But it seems to have been quite successful these days when not seeing class as the uniting factor
uh-huh.
Has been so successful. What do you think accounts for that? And it would seem to me that that is somehow associated with the feminist agenda as well.
Well, I think the women of color have forced race and class to become a part of the so-called women's agenda in very visible ways. And I think that women's studies classes in colleges and universities, it is very unusual now to have a women's studies class that does not attend to issues of race and class in addition to gender. And I think that's made a big difference.
Yeah, but do you think that, again, in the body politic outside the academy, that that racial divisions are in some ways more in play than, or at least as much in play, and that the class, the tie that binds people by class is less visible than it should be if the feminist ideal and movement had been successful, that we would have seen these things as class issues and not racial issues?
Well, I think the structural, I think that institutionalized racism and structural issues around poverty remain. Absolutely. But I think that the women's movement itself has done a better job at attracting a broader range of women than would have been the case 30 years ago. And you do see coalitions. You actually even see more coalitions among, for example, NAACP and now around issues having to do with working class women. I think Obama's health care plan, for example, has been touted by both civil rights and women's rights organizations. And you've seen them form coalitions, for example, when that struggle was seemingly in trouble. You saw coalitions among sort of traditional civil rights and traditional women's rights organizations. And the same thing is happening now around marriage equality.
Well, I think we have you to thank for at least some of that, and it's been a real pleasure to talk with you. Thank you, Beverly.
Thank you very much.
Beverly Guy-Sheftall is the founder and director of the Women's Research and Resource Center at Spelman College. That's our program for today. Thanks very much. You can find us on the web at stateofthings.org. This is North Carolina Public Radio, a broadcast service of the University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill. I'm Frank Stachow.